The passage reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 6,600 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Dagestan, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending their service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. This is the 10th session of the Spiritual Love Sermon Series. If someone asks you a question, what kind of a fruit is an apple? You might explain an apple in terms of what you have understood and felt about apples, saying that an apple is a fruit with red, yellow, or green skin. It is sweet to tart in taste, and it has crisp, whitish flesh. Now, if you are asked, what is love? What would you answer? Unlike the apple, love is not easily explained because it is not some inanimate object seen by our eyes. And also, everyone who explains about it, they have different opinions. But you have heard the message titled Spiritual Love, and you should be able to give a clear answer to anyone who asks. This message titled Spiritual Love clearly speaks about what love is and about the true meaning and concept of love. How thankful it is that you can accomplish true love in your heart by making this message of your spiritual bread. The last session's title was Love is Kind. And I told you that in order to accomplish kindness, you have to cast off evils from the heart, demolish the self in you, and become sanctified. Only when God explained to me this definition of love in spiritual love chapter, only then I came to understand. I knew there was a love between parents and children, love between husband and wife, and love among the brothers and sisters. But there was no definition of love. But when God gave me the revelation about a spiritual love chapter, I understood what spiritual love is. And also I understood about fleshly love and spiritual love. Only when you have gotten rid of every form of evil, so in the last session, title was Love is Kind, and I told you that in order to accomplish the kindness, you have to cast off evils from the heart, demolish the self in you, and become sanctified. Only when you have gotten rid of every form of evil can you look at, forgive, understand, and embrace all souls with the heart of our Father God. And only when you have become sanctified can you clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and guide other souls to the green pastures and still waters. If you have meekness and gentleness in heart, and if you go into spirit and whole spirit, the fourth level of goodness, then you'll be guided by the Holy Spirit clearly. And as I always tell the men's mission members, those who are doing businesses, they can make their business so great, then they can even become have a business conglomerate. Because I hear a voice of the Holy Spirit, so I sometimes give guidelines to those businessmen, to business. And also in the morning, I gave a hint to our chairman of the financial committee, and he got the his answer was selected as the number one answer among all the private banking specialists in Korea. And we can receive God's wisdom through the when we are sanctified in heart. So only when you have become sanctified can you clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and guide other souls to the green pastures and still waters. Thus you can be deemed meek and kind by God only when you have sanctified your heart. It is not complete for you to accomplish kindness by becoming sanctified and having no evil at all. You have to possess virtue expressed outwardly as well. Today I will explain to you what has to be done to possess virtue outwardly. I urge you to keep this message in heart and accomplish kindness and virtue so that you can come forth as beloved children of God. May each of you enjoy eternal blessing in the kingdom of heaven in the future, just as Psalm 37:11 says, "But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And blessed are the meek, and they will inherit the earth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how good you are inwardly, if you are not well-dressed, you may be looked down upon by others. Even though you have such great authority and so much wealth, if you just attend church wearing a shabby jacket, then people will not regard you as much. Of course, we shouldn't take people by appearances, but according to how we dress up and according to what kind of appearances we have, it'll be different. Even if you are a member of a royal family, if you do not wear the royal garments, you may not be recognized as royal. There is a story of the prince, the beggar prince. So he acted as a beggar outside the palace. Who considered him as a prince? He was a beggar. As said before, virtue is the same as these royal garments. Just as some garments symbolize the social positions, virtue is the revelation of the inward kindness and the passage to help inward kindness work outwardly. Let me give you an illustration. Most of flowers have beautiful colors or sweet scents to attract animals such as bees and butterflies to pollinate the flower. If the flower's colors are not outstanding or their scents are not sweet, no matter how much nectar they have, it'll be difficult for them to attract bees or butterflies. You church members, you give out the aroma of Christ, and when the dragonflies also appeared on the churchyard and they sat on your fingers, in the same way, even though you have kindness without evil in your heart, so that you can turn the left cheek when someone slaps you on the right cheek, that kindness cannot be brought to light without virtue. Of course, even if your words and deeds seem to have virtue, if you have not accomplished kindness inwardly, this is a bigger problem because it is only covering of the appearances. No matter how well-dressed you are, if you are not good inwardly, your nice appearance seems to be worthless. Sometimes they show a certain place of Korea on TV. They have this meeting. They sometimes curse at each other. They point at each other. They punch each other. So how embarrassing and how heartbreaking. You don't want to see that. So when you are equipped not only with inward kindness but also with outward virtue, you can be deemed truly meek and display true value. This is really true of Joseph. Though he was a Hebrew, because he was so virtuous, he became the ruler of Egypt second only to the Pharaoh. Egypt was one of the strongest countries of that time. And so the king and the people were very proud. Joseph was a stranger to them, but became the prime minister. In this situation, if he had shown even the slightest transgression or error, it would not have been easy for him to keep that position. Joseph successfully ruled over Egypt under such difficult circumstances. Yet the people of Egypt obeyed whatever Joseph told them. Dear brothers and sisters, women members, in your service to your husband, you should have meekness, right? Then if you have meekness and humbleness, you'll be loved by your husbands. But it's not for everybody. If you just serve your husband with meekness and humbleness, it is so good if you are loved by your husband. But it's not really always so. Even when you serve your husband with humbleness and meekness, most husbands look down upon their wives because their wives are humble. They just disregard their wives. That's why you cannot serve them with humbleness all the time. Of course, it's not for all our church members, believers. It's about many unbelievers in the world. They like it in the beginning. They like their wives being humble. But after some time, after a couple of years, they just look down upon their wives. They disregard their wives. Not all, but there are many. Then what should they do? They shouldn't just serve only with humbleness. They should also the virtue without kindness leads to that kind of consequences. If you have kindness along with virtue, then your husband cannot look down upon you in anything. If the husband cannot find any blemish in you, then your husband cannot look down upon you. That's why you can be loved. So you have to serve your husband with kindness and along with virtue. If you just have kindness alone, if you have kindness along with virtue, then your husband cannot look down on you. Joseph was very meek, humble, and blameless in his words and deeds. Also, he was full of wisdom and the dignity worthy of a ruler. He had the greatest power next to the king, but he neither tried to rule over the people with his power, nor arrogantly boasted of himself. He had ill feelings against no one, and never broke peace with anyone. He was strict with himself, but benevolent and generous to others. He was so virtuous that he was considerate of others in so much as a single word or deed. That's why the king of Egypt and his other ministers were neither watchful nor jealous of him, although he was a stranger. Instead, they favored and trusted him. When someone acted in evil toward Joseph, Joseph forgave and accepted him with a broad heart. Thus, his virtue prevented Joseph from judging and condemning others with his own standard, even though he was upright in his words and deeds, because he had a broad and big heart. This characteristic of Joseph was well represented when his brothers, who had sold him into slavery in Egypt, entered Egypt to get food. Joseph had more than enough power to make his brothers pay for their transgression against him. But Joseph did not seek revenge against his brothers for the sufferings he had received. But instead, he tried to give them a chance for them to destroy the wall of sin between themselves and God. Instead of disciplining them carelessly or forgiving or embracing them unconditionally, he arranged everything to bring benefits to them in accordance with the will of God. If you have spiritual kindness and virtue, then you will also have wisdom from heaven. So you'll be guided by the Holy Spirit clearly. You'll hear His voice clearly so you can lead the situation. Through his efforts, The brothers regretted and repented of their transgressions, but they were afraid when they realized that the ruler second in command to the Pharaoh in Egypt was Joseph, their brother. Joseph did not intimate his brothers by asking them why they had tried to harm him, their younger brother, nor did he threaten to repay them for their transgression. Instead, he comforted them, saying, "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph not only forgave them from the heart, but actively practiced goodness by measuring the heart of his brothers and comforting them with touching words. In other words, Joseph had become wholly sanctified and had no evil at all. So he not only possessed the kind of heart, to forgive his enemies, but he also possessed outward virtue capable of moving them with a good heart and deeds. The truthfulness of Joseph's heart is described in Genesis 47:12, saying, "Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones. Joseph served and honored his brothers and their families." Joseph's kindness that was accompanied by virtue not only rescued many people in and around Egypt from severe famines, but it also made it possible for the amazing plan and providence of God to be achieved. Virtue that is expressed outwardly together with active deeds of kindness within the heart enables amazing things to happen. Therefore, I want you to long to accomplish true kindness, embedding amazing power, namely kindness accompanied with virtue. What do you have to do specifically in order to possess this kind of virtue? Above all, you have to cast off evils and become sanctified. Inward kindness is accomplished through the sanctification of the heart. Virtues can also be possessed when you cast off evils and become sanctified. In the last session, I told you that virtue is a character that refers to having integrity and dignity that makes your heart right, and it allows you to act in accordance with justice, duty, and sense of responsibility. And I added that if you have this virtue, you can discern exactly what is right and what is wrong through a fair and proper standard. In order to accomplish such virtue, you have to have no evil in your heart at all. There are some of you who are able to show virtuous deeds through your cultural training, refinement, and education, or because you were born with innate broad-minded nature, even though you have not become sanctified. But true virtue comes from the heart in which there is no evil at all and through which you follow goodness and truth. Otherwise, you may form the frameworks of self-righteousness in your view about virtuous actions, and you may judge and condemn others from within such frameworks. So you have to become sanctified to possess virtue. And as much as you become sanctified, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly and receive His guidance concerning what is virtuous action in each circumstance. In order for you to fully accomplish virtuous words and deeds, merely casting off the biggest and thickest roots of evil is not enough. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, our Lord urges us to abstain from every form of evil. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Today, many believers abstain from every form of evil. They don't even know there are so many verses like this in the Bible, but they don't even know this verse. If they know, they will cast off evil from, they don't try to cast off evil. And they say they believe. So how pitiful it is. It's God's command. And obviously we have to cast off evil, even every form of evil. And we have to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So even in the Old Testament, God told Abraham to act perfect. And also, there are many verses to be perfect and to be holy. And who is trying to do so? Except you, mommy members, those who are listening to this message of life. There are so many famous pastors. They, even very famous people, they like our message and they long to listen to this message because they haven't heard this kind of message before. But as they listen, it is all in the Bible and it is all God's commandments, and they realize, why didn't we realize this before? It was a meaningless Christian life, they realize, and that's why they long for this message. And they like this message, Gospel of Holiness. And when we, without this Gospel of Holiness, if they think, could we have been saved? As said, when you have thrown away all kinds of evils from the heart and also become blameless in your words, deeds, and behaviors, you can accomplish kindness in which many people can take rest. So you should not be satisfied when you have cast off the evils such as hatred, envy, jealousy, arrogance, and hot temper. I gave the example of a wife's humbleness and kindness to serve her husband. If you just have only humbleness, some husbands may like it, but after some time, they just look down on their wives because there is no virtue. If you have virtue together, you will have no blemish on your words, deeds, actions, your face, anything. So the husband will respect his wife. And because she is serving her husband like that, he cannot look down on his wife. So this kindness has to come with virtue. Moses was also the most humble person on the face of the earth, but he also had the virtue along with it. So you should not be satisfied when you have cast off the evil such as hatred, envy, jealousy, arrogance, and hot temper. You have to take off detailed deeds of the body and accomplish the deeds of truth by receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and fervent prayers. What are, then, the deeds of the body? Romans 8:13 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die." So, fleshly Christian life, you will die. You cannot live. You cannot have eternal life. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. To the extent that you cultivate with spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. The body here does not simply refer to our physical body. As I have before explained to you through the messages on spirit, soul, and body, the body spiritually refers to the body of man after the spirit, namely the truth, had come out from him. So it is the heart, words, deeds of untruth. When you, even if you listen to the message for many years, their words are flesh, their deeds are flesh, and many of them are leading fleshly Christian life. They are pastors, the district leaders, they are elders, but they are, sometimes they cannot control their temper, they cannot control their anger, and they react with evil, saying, "I cannot help it because you did this to me." Because they are elders, they have been leaders in the church, and they are in high positions. So they should live by the word of God. They should humble themselves, and they should be able to turn their right cheek if somebody slaps on them left cheek. But it's just the opposite. In other words, it refers to the corruptible and physical body stained with untruths. And the deeds of the body refer to the deeds that come from untruths that have filled mankind who have changed into the flesh. And I once explained what the fleshly thought is. For example, between fleshly thought and spiritual thought, some people cannot discern such a simple thing. So I once gave a very simple example. For example, there are two persons, A and B. The person A is pointing at B with so much anger and irritation, and he doesn't hit him, but he is getting angry so much. And the person C who saw this thinks, oh, person A is such an evil person, he has so much anger. Then he judges him, and he's also, there is condemnation. He's an evil person. Then, how will a man of spirit look at this situation? Man of spirit will never judge. Why? Even if person A is getting angry so much, you don't know what the person B has done to A. You haven't seen from the beginning. You don't know what the person B had done, whether he swindled him or stole something from him, cheated him or cursed at him first, got angry at him first. You don't know. So you just see him and judge, looking at only one side. So you shouldn't be judging anybody. Then without doing so, if you judge and condemn, that is fleshly thought. The man of spirit will not do that. He will, before listening from both sides, they don't say anything. So that's why they don't commit any sin, no matter what they see or hear. So whatever they, man of flesh, whatever they hear and see, they keep on committing sins. They judge and condemn, and they are the gods. They are the judge. There's only one judge, God the Father, but they themselves become God. And so how arrogant they are. But man of flesh, man of spirit, without seeing and hearing themselves, they never judge or condemn. So they don't have any fleshly thoughts. They have only spiritual thoughts. That's why they don't make any wall of sin between God and them. So if you go into spirit, there are a few things to repent. Some of you habitually and easily exchange words jokingly or speak to each other in an undignified manner, while some others are always careful in everything you say and speak with respect to others. There's a great difference between those two kinds. This kind of words and behavior can come out as much as you sanctify your heart, remove evils, and serve and love others. In other words, to the extent that you become sanctified and get rid of evils, you can show good words and deeds. The deeds of the body include not only evident sins, but also all kinds of incomplete deeds. For example, some of you use coarse and clumsy words, even though you have no evil intention. After accepting the Lord, even though you have thrown away every kind of evil that was in heart, because the traces of the flesh may remain in you, your personality that is rather brusque can then tender and sweet may show in your manner of speaking. Some others of you wear clothing that follows the course of the world, untidy clothing, and inappropriate attire for the time and place. You are not concerned about the outer appearance of the clothing or put on the clothes just the way you did in the world. These things seem to be trivial. But when you are qualified in very detailed aspects, you can be worthy to be favored and trusted by the people around you, saying very neat and elegant. When some others of you are found to be improper in some aspects, you may say that you have inborn natures or make excuse saying that you cannot escape from such deeds because they are a part of your life. But increasingly possessing virtue is, after all, the process of resembling the image of our God and accomplishing the instructions of the Lord as the children of God. How many people's lives would you be able to touch if you have accomplished refinement and instruction in the Lord? You'll be able to move many others just with a single word. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, which is the truth. In the same way, when you have to scold someone, you do not do it looking down on the person, but just with wisdom and a respectful attitude. Yesterday, some women's mission members came, and one of them said, "Oh, Senior Pastor, just by seeing your three daughters, it is so gracious, and she is so touched." Also, when people went to the pastors from the neighboring country, there were Pastor Myung Lee and Migyung Lee in the airport. So the members asked them to sit down. And Pastor Myung Lee said to Migyung Lee, asked her younger sister, Pastor Migyung Lee, with an honorific expression. And people saw that. How the younger sister used such an honorific expression to her younger sister? And how can she yield her seat to the younger sister? And how, from the heart, she was using, speaking honorific word, expressions. So they were telling me, "Senior Pastor, you must be so happy." "Yes, I am happy. I'm just happy just thinking about them. And when I see them, I'm even happier." Even by when other people see them, it's gracious between brothers and sisters. You respect each other. And if you can serve each other, younger ones serve older ones, and the older ones serve the young ones, then how happy they will be. The parents, and also between parents and children, if they serve each other from the heart, in spirit, then their family self will be heaven. Thus, a man with virtue is different in small and trivial aspects, and so many people want to take rest in him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, next, you have to cultivate the character of your heart to possess virtue. Virtue comes from a broad and wide heart, and through mercy, compassion, and unfailing love. The characters of heart refer to the size of the heart. So the better your heart's character, the bigger the size of the heart is. Some of you can do more than expected according to the character of the heart. But some others do just the things assigned for you, or some are just less than that. Even if you have the same vessel of heart, according to how broadly you use your heart in each situation, the character of heart will be different. The size of the vessel is all different from person to person. If you men's mission members, if you have broad heart, broad vessel, and become sanctified, then God can bless you so much because you have big vessel. But if you have small vessel, you have no container. And this is very precise. When I see many cases, according to your vessel, it's same with the pastors. When they open a church, if their vessel is great, God gives them many members. And it's of no use if they have small vessel. Even if God gives them more, people will leave. So if the vessel is big, they will embrace everybody. Evil people, poor people, or educated, or rich people, everybody. So they can have revival in the church. The same with the financial blessings. If you have big vessel, you can have many blessings. And if you have small vessel, God wants to give you much, but you can have only that much, as big as your vessel. So if you have a big vessel, you can understand, even if they are in trials now, and refinement process now, I can just understand they can receive great blessings after a year or two. Because they have big vessel. But if you have small vessel, even if I teach them so much, and give them examples and give them testimonies, it's of no use because they don't enlarge their vessels. In fact, God must be saying, my vessel is so big. Actually, I'm giving to God so greatly in everything. That's why God has to give me so much. And I told you about this church finance. I wanted to finish all the loans and the things to pay. And I wanted to solve all these things, and I'm wrapping it up, and most of them is done now. Not the capital money in the bank, but we can just pay them back every month. But there are things that to be paid, so, and there are various things, and I'm paying them off. So how can I do it? I have to show God, great vessel. I have to show God I have this big vessel. That's why only then can God give me. So that's what I'm doing. When we drove away this typhoon, you cannot imagine how much thanks offering I offered to God. There was such great benefit because the typhoon went away. So I give to God greatly. Other than that, there are many things. To go into Canaan sanctuary more quickly, so I gave to God greatly. And there are many other things for which I gave offerings to God, because there are so many, I don't remember everything. And it's not a little amount. The church anniversary, I give greatly so we can receive so much blessing from God. Not only a financial blessing, so many pastors and so many people from around the world will be united with us. And as I was writing the thanks offerings, and my personal offering on the anniversary service is almost as much as the amount of offering of all members. And God brings blessings from many members around the world. And even that is not enough. And God works in such in a completely different way too. So it can be enough. It can be added to what is not enough. That's why I am thrilled from time to time. I feel very thrilled often nowadays because God works in such a way. So God has always filled the vessel as much as I showed. So that's why I give to God again and receive blessing and help the needy and do His missionary works and so on. A man with virtue has a character of heart that is big and wide, so he can do what he has to do. Our members, they should be safe on their journey to hometown, and they shouldn't bow down before idols. So I gave to God greatly for you, members, so that you won't have any accidents. And you can have a happy and joyous holidays. I also sow in God for you, members. And because I have the kind of heart, what does God do? He said, it'll be done as you have believed you do it. So when it's not enough just from the members, God works somewhere outside the members. But I cannot tell you the details. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So you should not only look after your own personal matters, but also be concerned for others. This character of heart can differ according to how much you broaden your heart in all circumstances, so you can change it through continual efforts. If you have impatiently looked out only for your own personal interests, you should pray in detail and change your narrow mind into a broader one so that you can first consider the benefit and situations of others. For example, in a mission group, there are many group leaders, and in a district, there are many cell leaders and sub-district leaders. Some of them do only their own works assigned for their own cells, sub-districts, and districts. Of course, it is thankful that they are able to fulfill their God-given duties well. But some others not only take care of their own groups or cells, but also look out for the missions and districts they belong to as well. Sometimes they give up many things for others and sacrifice themselves instead of seeking their own benefits. They then testify that they received blessings when the members of a group serve their mission as a whole with one heart. Until he was sold into slavery in Egypt, Joseph was brought up like the flowers grown in a greenhouse. He could not take care of every affair of the house or measure the hearts and situations of his brothers. However, he changed through various trials after he was sold into the slavery of Egypt. When he was a slave, or when he was assigned for the duty of taking care of all the prisoners, he thoroughly humbled himself and fulfilled his duties faithfully. So he broadened his vessel more and more, so he could embrace so many people. Even those who were acting evil against him, even those who were cursing at him, he could embrace everybody. That's why he was loved. He was acknowledged. And he set him as the ruler, second to the king Pharaoh. If he had small vessel, what if he had small vessel? Because he had great vessel, he could embrace and all his brothers who tried to kill him. He didn't have any ill feelings or resentment or hatred. How great vessel this is. How good this is, this kind of vessel. If you have become a vessel like this. Pastors also, elders. If you broaden your vessel, then God wants to fill your broadened vessel. Through that experience, he could possess the heart to observe and manage every corner of the organization and learn how to watch over the hearts of others. Our Father God knew everything that would happen and laid the foundation in preparation for allowing him to become the ruler of Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. And always I sit in my room, and I always search all over the all the pastors and Levites, and I harbor so many sick people, and also I harbor all overseas missionaries and overseas members, and also overseas branch churches. I harbor all of them. So that everything can flow nice. It's not easy, but because of the help of the Holy Spirit, our Lord and the Father, I can do it. If you accomplish this character of heart along with a kind and blameless heart, you can rule over and take care of a big organization. In a small organization, with few people, they cannot be united. They always give me bad news. And they always have quarrels. And how can they not be united as one? And if they just humble themselves and follow and pray, then God will work. But they only look at the reality and they just... And they report to me everything. So it's actually very heartbreaking. You can lead all the members of that organization by looking after the minutest detail and showing the deeds of goodness. I wish all of you will cultivate this broad and wide character of heart. The husbands, if you have this kind of heart, how much will your wife respect and love you? And same with the children. If the wife has this kind of heart, then how much will she be loved by her husband and the children and brothers and sisters? If the first sons and daughters have broad heart and embrace all his brothers and sisters, will they be loved so much? And the same with neighbors. Around my residence, after the Friday Ola service, I used to see the police patrol around my residence, but nowadays I don't see any police patrol because they trust me and they trust this residence. There's no robbery or any theft around my residence. And even the unbelievers come to my residence. They say, and they sit on the benches and they spend some time. They have some coffee or they have some juice or, and they have a cup and sit on the benches and they freely come to my residence as if they come to their own house. Some people, there is a elderly man who comes every day. So they have a rest. And also they have some coffee or a juice or something. I think they feel at ease staying there. I pray in the name of the Lord that each of you become a great vessel in which you can give benefits to many souls and embrace countless souls. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of blessings will you receive when you have accomplished perfect gentleness by possessing inner kindness and outer virtue? As said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And in Psalm 37:11, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. You can inherit the land. So even unbelievers love our residence so much, and we have a member in police officer, who is a police officer, and there's a district office of a police station in that area of my residence. He didn't say he was a member of Manmin Church, but the police officers there, they praised my residence and the families there so much. Maybe. And then... He's on a duty now, right now. But he was so happy to hear the praises in Sindebangdong, and the police officers there, they are proud of. They praised the family members there, so he was also happy. So he said, I'm a member of Manmin Church. And later he said, and inheriting the land does not mean that you will receive the physical land of this earth. The land here symbolizes the dwelling place of the kingdom of heaven. And inheriting the land means enjoying great power in heaven in the future. Those who have the power on earth are accompanied by many people. In the same way, the meek will be favored and followed by many others in heaven. In this world, if you lose authority, everybody will go away. But the authority in heavenly kingdom will last forever. A gentle person strengthens the souls with the heart of our Father God and moves their hearts and leads them to salvation. That's why the kinder you become, the more souls will take rest within you and be guided to salvation by you. Accordingly, a kind person will be able to enjoy great power and inherit the broad and wide land as the dwelling place when he reaches heaven. Similarly, he who has great power, wealth, and honor on earth is followed by authorities and many people. But if he loses everything he has possessed, he will lose most of his authority, and many people who have followed him will leave him. The spiritual authorities that follow a kind person are different from those of this world. They neither disappear nor change. He is recognized and favored by many people and is successful in everything as his spirit prospers. He will be greatly loved by our Father God forever and ever and be respected and commended by countless souls in heaven. And there, among our members, church members, there are many who help the needy without letting anybody know, without letting the left hand know what your right hand is, what their right hand is doing. They don't say them by themselves. And for me to remember somebody's name, it's not easy. But because so many people tell me the same name over and over again, I remember their names. And there's many. And I'm so thankful. We are resembling the early churches if we share. Last Friday or Sunday, there was one son who came to meet me, and he received blessing, and he had a difficulty before. He lent some money, about $25,000. And because he wasn't paid back, and because of that, he had to come out of his brother's house. And that's why I always tell you not to lend or borrow money between brothers and sisters in Christ. And he was not one, not his son only, and many brothers and sisters were cheated. By a young man, college student. And it was a great amount. And it was some of them was the scholarship or the college loans. And that's why I always emphasize not to have any money exchanges. And those who say they have good heart, they see spiritual things and so on. Anyway, finally he had to come out, he had no house. And the director of that that department, and how much she asked that the son, and so the director of that department also helped him with about $5,000. But right now he has no difficulties, but he had a time like that. So without revealing themselves, there are many people who help the needy. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 and 28, Jesus explains to us what kind of person is greater. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority of them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant." You want to be great? Do you want to be great? Or you want to be small? Elders, do you want to be great? If you want to be great among you, shall be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. So, if you want to be great, you serve others. If you want to be first, you become slave. Then God makes you great. And God lifts you up. And since I was a new believer, if anybody attacked me or slandered me or anything, I just prayed for them with love. And so many pastors around me criticized me. Right now the media doesn't do that anymore, but before, the media also criticized me so much. The dailies and weeklies and monthlies, they criticized me. So many pastors, Gentiles, criticized me. I was just like a drum hit by so many people. Then God made me first. And whoever says, now nobody can say anything. And so many people around the world, so many famous people, they are coming to our church. And if we build this Canaan sanctuary and have anniversary service, then you'll be enraptured. So many guests, pastors, politicians, and authorities, and rich men will come from all of the world and also from Korea. I can guarantee it. In that time, so many people with authorities and wealth will come. Right now, we have a small space, so we cannot invite them. Even if they want to come, we cannot have them, all of them here. When we have a big space, then we can open up. Then so many people will come. Even those at authorities. And will a slave fight back his master? Slave, if he's beaten, he will just be beaten. And if he's criticized, he will just be scolded. And I never fought back, and that's why God raised me up. And because it is the word of God, God's word is always absolutely true. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The high priests were criticizing him, attacking him, slandering him. Also, Jesus was beaten by, punched by the servants also when he took the cross. And also high priests and elders, they were all criticizing Jesus. They were cursing him. And when they made all kinds of false rumors and spread them. Still, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I wish all of you really humble and lower yourselves and possess the gentle heart in which you can embrace and serve even a little child. I have explained to you that spiritual kindness is given you when you possess the kind heart that is without any evil and virtues in which you can embrace and rule over others. And because our Lord served and humbled himself, he became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I added that in order to accomplish inward kindness and virtue, you have to become sanctified by casting off every kind of evil from the heart and be perfect in words and deeds. Also, I told you that when you possess this kindness, you can inherit the broader land in heaven. That is, you can receive better dwelling places and enjoy great authority. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become true and kind children of God and be called greater in the kingdom of heaven and draw closer to the throne of God. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you thanks for the grace and your love. Father, let this message become life and strength. Faith, life, and faith. Let us have spiritual virtue and let us have spiritual kindness along with virtue. Outwardly, let us have peace with everybody. Let us all receive all the blessings that you want to give to us so that we will glorify your name. Lord, thank you. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray for the sick. Hallelujah, Lord. Please lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending time and space. Bless all the churches, branch churches, and local sanctuaries that are attending the service through satellite and all children of God who are attending their service on the internet, all of the world, and all GCN viewers. And they sent their photos. Father, lay your hands on the photos and names. And from Indonesia, Ilman Yun, the missionary, he is visiting Malaysia and Singapore. He wants many good doctors to attend the Indonesian WCDN conference. He wants to have more than 500 members, and he let there be many people attendance in a one-day handkerchief crusade that will be held on Friday. Pour down on him the more power and authority. And also let him speak Indonesian language more fluently. Also be with his wife, Patricia, and let her give birth on the right time, right moment, and on the right day. And the Idamami Church, Pastor Sungil Liu, has a handkerchief crusade. Let there be many sick people, many Gentiles, many unbelievers. Let the message become life. Let them meet the living God. And let their souls be saved. And let there be revival. And also in Africa and in neighboring countries and so many places around the world, there are many handkerchief crusades going on. And wherever they have seminars and crusades, Father, bless them. Lord, thank you. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Be healthy, spiritually and physically. Light come. Give them your power, power, power. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. And give them prosperity and happiness throughout this week and let them have a joyous feast, Chuseok holidays. And if there are any neglected people, Father, through this, if there are any neglected people during the holidays, Father, let our members take care of them, search them, and take care of them so that nobody will be neglected during these holidays. Father, thank you. Protect them throughout the week and bless them. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.